So as they begin to exit, they'll find their way back to a place. I'm not sure where they're going to sit, but they're going to join us for just a few minutes as we share from God's Word. And then they're going to come back up at the end and join us for one more song as we sing together. Nice job, Brandon. Way to go, buddy. Good job. Give it up for our narrator. Great job. And could we just put our hands together for Miss Katie and Miss Deborah, Miss Cindy, Miss Sarah. Who am I missing? So many people that helped, adult volunteers help put that together and train our kids and get them prepared for that. What a great job. I want to thank you all for being here today. Hope is born. What a great theme. What a glorious theme that is to share, to see our kids put that on is so refreshing to me as a dad. I love to see my children up there reenacting the story of the gospel, the hope of the world that we celebrate at Christmas time. I hope that really is what you're celebrating at Christmas time each year, the hope of Jesus, not just kind of a soppy sentimentalism of being together with family, getting presents. All that stuff is fine, but this is what we're really all about. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about God coming into this world, living in a body like ours, experiencing all of the pain and the suffering and the temptations that we experience on a day-to-day basis. And yet we know from God's Word that He never sinned. In all of that, He never disobeyed or dishonored His Father. Hope for man was born 2,000 years ago in a smelly stable in Bethlehem, a little tiny Middle Eastern town. And he was born to a Jewish virgin girl, a peasant girl, and her peasant espoused husband. He was not born into wealth. He was not born into royalty. But hope wasn't just born. Man's hope grew. He became a teenager. He grew and he matured, and then he ministered, and he, in every way, doing miracles and in other ways, manifested himself to be no mere man. Though he was fully man, he wasn't merely man. He was the Son of God, and he manifested himself to be so to the eyes and to the hearts of those who were open to him. Hope was born, but hope was born to ultimately do something that, man, just didn't look very hopeful. Hope, the Lord Jesus Christ, was born to die. Do we believe that? We believe that it took more than just a baby in a stable to rescue men from their sins. Hope was born to die, and in that moment following the crucifixion of Christ, hope appeared to his disciples and perhaps to everyone else who was looking to him to be lost. But it wasn't. It wasn't. Jesus' birth in Bethlehem was only part of God's plan. And yet, it was his plan from the beginning. It wasn't an afterthought. Jesus' birth, Jesus' life, his maturity, his ministry, his miracles, that wasn't an afterthought. Oh no, man screwed up. What am I going to do? That's not the thinking that went through Almighty God's mind. In fact, the Bible teaches us that before the world was ever formed, Jesus Christ was crucified in God's mind. That was His plan, to save us from the foundation of the world. God's plan to glorify Himself by saving men from sin and from its death penalty, that couldn't be fulfilled without God Himself, God personally coming and taking our place, dying in the place that we deserve to die in, paying a price we could never ourselves afford to pay. Every single moment of Jesus' earthly life was predicated and pointed towards the cross. was overshadowed by his death. Jesus was born, Jesus grew, Jesus matured, and then he died, but hope didn't die. And why is that? It's because Jesus also experienced a second birth. We call that the resurrection, right? Jesus didn't stay dead. This is why the Apostle Paul could say in one of his letters, his letter to the church at Colossae, he said, and he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. We believe the Bible is true. We believe that Jesus is indeed alive. It's not just Jesus' moral teaching that lives on. It's not Jesus' good example that lives on in the people who try to live like him. Jesus himself lives on. He lives. Hope is alive. Just because he was born, lived, died, and rose again doesn't mean that we automatically see him as reigning supreme in our lives. In fact, instead of recognizing Jesus' right to reign supreme in your life, some of you here are actively resisting his reign, his supremacy. Resistance is rebellion. And rebellion against God's right to lovingly, graciously, savingly reign over your earthly life is to reject his free offer of eternal life. So through drama and through costumes and staging and narration and song, the kids have once again posed for all of us this great, most important of all questions. Will you surrender to God's saving mercy? Will we surrender to his mercy through faith in Jesus, the Son who came personally in the flesh to rescue us from sin by restoring a right relationship between mankind and God? Will we recognize that and acknowledge it and embrace it and receive it? That's the question that's being asked yet again by this dramatic retelling. We don't surrender, make no mistake, we don't surrender by merely accepting the facts of Jesus' birth. We don't surrender by accepting the facts of his death, his life, his resurrection, his mission here on earth. We surrender by faith. Okay, facts are important, but faith is ultimate. Without faith, the Bible says it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to please a holy God who requires that we put our trust in him. In other places, the Bible makes it clear that while good works are important, good works alone are never enough to make us right with God. Never. For many Christians, Christmas and New Year's is a time of self-reflection. For non-Christians as well, it's a time of self-reflection. It's this season is as the year ends and the new year is ready to begin, it's a season of resolutions. And perhaps the peace and the tenderness of the Christ child in a manger and that telling of that story again inspire you to want to be kinder, to want to be a gentler, more patient, more generous, more loving person towards your neighbors and your family, your co-workers this year. And that's great. That's great. Perhaps God's self-giving, self-sacrificing love in coming to earth and living among us make you want to be less selfish in 2019. Man, it's fine to want those things. It really is. It's good to want those things. But all of that misses the point of this. Okay? No amount of resolutions, no amount of self-reformation is ever going to give you real and lasting hope. Have you tried it? I have. And it leaves me feeling discouraged, frustrated. Yet again, I've failed to live up to my own desires. It can't give us hope. You see, real hope for today, real hope for eternity, isn't bought by good behavior. It's bestowed by a new birth from God. The Bible talks about this new birth. You may be familiar with the term being born again. Well, the theme today is hope is born. Well, if you want to have real hope for today, real hope for what comes after this earthly life, you not only need to be born once to your parents, you need to be born again by the Spirit of God. Let's say you pick out an amazing gift. It's an ideal gift for a loved one. And you wrap it up and you know, oh, you just hope that they are blown away by this gift because it's just the ideal, amazing gift for this loved one. And it's wrapped up and they get the package and they open it on Christmas morning and they look at you and they say, wow, but I haven't been this good. I'll tell you what, I want it, but you hang on to it and for now, while I go and I'll do some good things for you. I'll paint your living room for you. I'll wash and wax your car for you. I'll do a few really nice things for you, and then maybe I'll be worthy of this gift. It's Christmas morning, and you get that response. Or maybe they say to you, "Oh wow, it's really too much. I'll tell you what, I'll take it, but I'd like to work for you for the next 6 months. Maybe we can put together a kind of a payment plan. I'll go ahead and take it now on credit, and then I'll get you back. I want to show you that I'm good for it." Or maybe they look at you, and they look at the gift, and they look back at you, and they say, "Hey, I appreciate the gesture, but honestly, I don't want it, or I don't need it. You know, maybe somebody else could use it. And if not, I hope you kept the receipt. Thanks, but no thanks." Now, just imagine the insult you would feel. That would probably fall into the worst Christmas morning ever if you were to receive any of those three responses from this gift. And here's the thing. You are an imperfect human, and you are an imperfect gift giver, and your gifts are imperfect. And just imagine your insult. Now, If you can, just try to put yourself in the place of a holy God who is looking at you from heaven, offering to you the gift of His Son, the gift of eternal life through faith in Him. And imagine His heart when He hears these responses. "Oh God, wow. Thank you. You know what? I really want Jesus. I like the idea of a Savior, you know, but I want to show you I'm good for it. So maybe next year, give me a year, Lord." Or, "Hey, wow, God, thank you. Thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for my sins. I will go ahead and accept that, the face value of that, but I tell you what, I want to I want to work for that. I want to show you that I'm worthy of that gift. So, you know, over the next few years, maybe even over the rest of my life, I'm gonna prove to you that I'm good for it. Or, hey, God, you know, that's pretty nice giving Jesus, but honestly, it's not for me. He's not for me. I don't really need that. Every person in this room, and I hope there's not any, but I believe there may be some who has yet to receive Christ by faith, is excusing themselves and resisting God's gift in one of those three ways. You either see it as something you've got to work for and try to earn before you receive it, or you see it as something you've got to try to pay off once you receive it, or you just plain old don't want it. My prayer, my hope for our kids as they prepared this and for us as we share this morning with you is that if you come today out of kindness, out of niceness to see your kids, your grandkids, your niece, your nephew, your neighbor, your student in this production, our prayer is that if you come having not yet received Jesus as Lord and Savior by simply putting your faith and trust in God and accepting it as a free gift, no strings attached, no conditions, that today would be the day that you do that. That today would be the day you stop striving to perform and earn God's good grace. That's not how it works. Jesus came, lived, grew, and died for no reason if His goodness and grace can be earned, if His favor and a right relationship with Him can be deserved and merited by us. God doesn't send His Son, His perfect, only begotten Son, to the earth to suffer and die for nothing, for people who can pull themselves up by their own spiritual bootstrings and make themselves right before Him on their own. We receive His gift by grace. And my prayer for you is that today would be a day where you surrender. That this Christmas would be the first Christmas in your life where you fully have embraced and grasped the magnitude of the gift God has given us in His Son. He loves you. He wants that relationship with you. Don't fix your life. Don't try to clean yourself up. Don't assume that you're already clean and don't need it. Just simply acknowledge what you, in your heart of hearts, know to be true. That I am a broken sinner in need of a Savior. In need of hope. One of Jesus' most famous conversations, perhaps His most famous, was with a man named Nicodemus. It was late at night. Nicodemus met Jesus at night because he was too afraid to meet with Him in public during the day. And he just asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And what did Jesus say? "You must be born again." Born again. Confused Nicodemus. Well, how can a man enter his mother's womb again and be born? And Jesus said, "You're missing it, Nick. Listen, I'm talking about a new birth from God. I'm talking about repentance. I'm talking about a change of your mind by way of faith. And the Holy Spirit, that third person of the Trinity that so often gets left out and kind of marginalized, forgotten about, no. He is the one who right now, if you are sensitive to what I'm saying and you are inclined to believe what I'm saying about Jesus and to trust Him as your Savior, that's the Holy Spirit at work in your life. He is taking God's Word and He is applying it to your heart. He's taking the gospel and He is applying it to your heart. And so don't resist that. Let's pray together. And after we pray, we're going to sing one more song together. And then after that, we're going to have some brief announcements and instructions for the brunch that's to follow. I invite you, if you're here this morning, and you sense that moving of the Spirit in your heart, you know about Jesus, you know that He is in some way behind this Christmas thing that we do every December. You know from Sunday school class years ago, or PSR class years ago, or some exposure years ago, that Jesus claimed to be God's Son and died on a cross to forgive sins. You know some of those basic facts. But if today in your heart there is an openness and a receptiveness to taking it to the level of faith, then I invite you to just pray this simple prayer with me. This isn't in the Bible. It's just a simple prayer. It could be said in a number of ways, but here are the basics. I invite you to just pray with me. Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I've tried to live for You, or I've tried to be a good person. I've tried to be kind. I've tried to be a moral person, but I have no hope. And I have a gloomy despair about what's to come when this life is over. But today, I've heard about the hope that is in Jesus Christ. And by faith, I want to receive Him as my Savior. I want to call on Him to save me and forgive me from my sins. And I want then to follow Him and to be His disciple. Father, I thank You for Your love and grace. I thank You for the great gift of Jesus. Now help me to live for You. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.